Psalm 119. In brief review, if you'll go back to just a few verses in Psalm 119, we digressed a little bit when we dealt with verse 11, and that is, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." And the idea of hiding God's word in our hearts, memorizing the Scripture. And if we are going to be effective in personal evangelism, we need to have a number of verses at the tips of our tongues so that we can share the gospel. I was reading this past week in the book of Isaiah, where the Lord says that He will empower His word, and it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was intended. And our authority, our power, is in the word of God. I can explain the gospel very thoroughly without using Scripture. But there is no power or authority in that. And if we are going to be effective in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to know some of those Bible verses and be able to share those things and be able to explain them and illustrate them. And it's not that difficult to do. The list of verses that are commonly used, and there's lots of others that could be used, but the list of verses that are commonly used are in the backs of your directory. And if you need another one of these, see me or somebody else. But there's some of these floating around, but they're in the back there, and I encourage you to take a look at that. Also, we were dealing with the fact that our culture has changed, and a lot of the things that we used to use in personal evangelism are less effective today, and part of it has to do with the fact that we're dealing with a non-Christian culture, especially among the younger generation, that people very often don't have a background. They don't have any groundwork as far as the gospel is concerned. The whole idea of Adam and Eve and so on is scoffed and mocked at, if they've even heard about it. And then, why did Christ die? So we have to do a lot of explaining. It's like going to Southeast Asia or the Far East or parts of India, where you have people that have no background in the gospel. It's totally different if you're ministering in Latin America. There's at least some basis with Catholicism and so on. They have a number of truths. They don't have the idea of how to appropriate salvation right. But they have a lot of truth down. But when you're dealing with a Buddhist culture, a Hindu culture, or as we have here in our United States, this neo-paganism, I suppose you want to call it, there's less and less background. And so there has to be some explaining. So we need to know the gospel very thoroughly and to be able to approach it in a manner that would catch their attention and their understanding. And we did the contrast between the sermon that was preached by Peter in Acts chapter 2, where he was dealing with a biblically literate congregation. The folks that were there in the temple were there for the Feast of Pentecost, most of them, the foreigners that were there. And they had a lot of Bible knowledge. They had a lot of Bible understanding. Were thoroughly immersed in the Scripture and the promise that God had made regarding David and the coming Messiah and so forth. And so he preached on the basis of the promises, the expectation. When we go to Acts chapter 17 and Paul is preaching to the pagans and the intellectuals there in Athens, he took an entirely different approach. But he did deal with the idea that God is a creator. And again, being able to defend biblical creation is a help. Don't be intimidated by folks that look at you as some kind of a backward, archaic fool because you hold to biblical creation. It is a scientifically defendable position, and it is God's truth, and is what God has declared. And it's not limited to Genesis. As you go through the Bible, you will see time and time and time again God referred to as the Creator. That is His authority. That is a demonstration of His power, and that is also a declaration of our accountability to Him. It is a truth that we need to embrace and defend. All right, Gimel. Gimel is the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, comparable basically to the our letter G. And so each of the verses, not each line, I went back and double-checked on it. Each verse of Psalm 119 begins with the respective letter of the alphabet for that eight-verse section. And so starting in verse 17 through verse 24, all the verses will begin with the Hebrew letter Gimel in the original language. He says in verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. The idea of God's protection and preservation, God's dealing in our lives to allow us to continue to be able to serve him. We serve in this life and then God takes us home. And it's a blessed thing for us to go and be in the presence of the Lord. It is the greatest day of our existence to step into the very presence of God. But that also, for most of us, ends our service here. There are some people, it's kind of interesting, there's some people that continue to serve the Lord even though they've been gone for ages. Oliver B. Green is still on the radio. And Charles Spurgeon's sermons are still being read. And these guys have been gone for decades or even for well over 100 years, and they continue to minister in that way. But most of us, our ministry ends when we leave this life. And so he's asking for God to preserve him that he may live and continue to serve the Lord in this life and keeping God's word. Verse 18, a great, great verse. Let's look at this. It says, Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If you are like me, and I think most of you are, we've shared testimonies about this kind of thing, you're reading through God's Word, you're reading the Bible. And maybe you are in the habit of reading through the Bible on an annual basis. So this is stuff that you've seen it before. You've seen it before. And yet, as you're reading the Bible, something jumps off the page at you. Something that you hadn't noticed before, or all of a sudden it dawns on you, hey, that connects with this over here. That explains, and you put the pieces together. It's like you're working on a gigantic, huge jigsaw puzzle and you put something, oh, that's what that is. I've been looking at that piece, couldn't figure out what in the world that is. You put it, oh, it's an eyeball or whatever it might be. You see how it fits together. And so allow me to see. Allow me to see. When we were lost, before we knew Christ as Savior, there was, this is the case for me, this is the case with a lot of folks that, as you share the gospel with them. How many of you have ever talked to somebody and they said, yeah, I've read the Bible, I didn't get it. Or man, that was weird. That was, you know, they talk about all the unusual or their inability to wrap their heads around certain things the Bible says. How many of you had that experience? Okay. It's a common thing. And then when you get saved, as you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden there's light and you can see and you grasp things that you never saw before or never noticed before. And God will continue to do that in our lives as long as we walk with Him. We need to see those things. God alone opens our eyes. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is He illumines us. He allows us to see and understand what God's Word has to say. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. We are strangers and pilgrims, the scripture says. What is the idea of being, when he says stranger, remember in the King James Version, stranger is the idea of being a foreigner. What is the idea that we are strangers and pilgrims, that we're foreigners in this world? I'm sorry, I gotta have hands because, okay, yes. Okay, in the world but not of it, okay. This is not our final home. You're gonna say the same exact, you're gonna say the same thing. Alright, what else? Alright, keep your finger here. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. So all the way at the other end of your Bible. Philippians chapter 3. And again, familiar stuff. And, I mentioned before, I love the King James Version. I preach and teach from the King James Version. My Bible verses are memorized in the King James Version. But we need to recognize the fact that this is a translation. And occasionally, people who do the work of translation make mistakes, or they could do something maybe a little better or more clearly. And that's one of the things that we have here in Philippians chapter 3. If you look down at verse 20, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, and by the way, this is not a text issue, this is a translation issue. There's no difference in the Greek words here. It says in the King James, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a different translation, what do you have instead of the word conversation? Citizenship. That is the word. That is the word. Our citizenship is in heaven. So if I, let's say I live in the United States, but I carry a passport for Australia. My citizenship is Australian. I may be living here. I may be visiting here. I may be here on a student visa or a work visa or just on vacation, just passing through on a business trip. Who knows? But my citizenship is Australian. I'm a foreigner here. I'm passing through. All right. Our citizenship, if we know Christ as Savior, our citizenship's in heaven. We have a kingdom citizenship. And as far as this world is concerned, we are, as the song says, just passing through. We have a limited time here. We will be going to the place where we have our citizenship, and we will abide there forever. And so getting back to the idea of what we had here in Psalm 119 and verse 19, it says, I am a stranger in the earth. And that's true. This is not our final home. This is, well, let me change that. New heaven and new earth is our final home. But the present world as it is not our final home. And because we are kingdom citizens, we are strangers and looked at as foreigners by the world at large. And then he says, hide not thy commandments from me. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we spent about 10 minutes at our house looking for a checkbook. And we're wandering around and we're looking here, we're rummaging through this pile, we're checking on this dresser, we go looking at places where it, and we used it 2 days ago. Where is it? You know, this kind of thing. And where is it? And we walked past it probably 4 or 5 times and nobody saw it. It wasn't buried. It was sitting right there in the open. And very often we have things like that as far as God's commands are concerned. That there are things right in front of us and we can't see it. There are truths that are right there before our eyes and we just can't see it. We just can't see it. And so he says, open my eyes that I may see these things. Hide not thy commandments from me. I love this one. Verse 20. My soul breaketh or is crushed for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Do we have a real strong appetite for the things of God? Do we have a hunger for the Word of God? Do we look forward to having that opportunity to be either reading God's Word or to be taught the Word of God? Do we relish that opportunity? Do we look forward to that? Is that one of the highlights of our day or of our week to be instructed by the Word of God? Do we have a longing for that? Is that something that just pressing on our hearts? Oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait. Well, it's a highlight of my day. I get to spend some time with somebody or doing something. Do I get to spend time with the Word of God? Is that the highlight of my day? Is that something that I'm really looking forward to? And that's the idea being conveyed here. Am I really longing for this? Is it just a burden on my heart that I want to spend time with God and His Word? That I may learn these things, and so forth. Verse 21, and this is our former life and the lives of those for the most part about us. He says, thou hast rebuked the proud or the arrogant that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Why are they arrogant? Why are they arrogant in this particular area especially? Why are they arrogant? They don't keep God's law. They have no regard for God's law. They are cursed, which means they're outside of salvation. Why are they arrogant?
They think they're smarter than God.
They think they're smarter than God. If God says something and people disagree with it, now think about this, it's true. If God says something and people disagree with it, well, I think this, and you hear this all the time, sometimes even from believers or those who profess to be believers. What they're saying is, I'm smarter than God. I have a better idea than God. I have a disagreement with God on this. Folks do this all the time. Sometimes believers do this. I remember talking to somebody that was purportedly in the ministry. And they said, I disagree with the Bible on this point and on this point. And there's probably a lot more if they were to think about it. But those two points they brought up. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't have a problem with the Bible. You really have a problem with God. Because this is God's word. And when God declares something to be so, you accept it for what it says. This is what God says. And if you have a problem with what God says, then you are bringing yourself as an authority over what God has said. Do you have any idea the epitome of arrogance that is? I'm smarter than God, is what you're saying. And when the world has a disagreement with the Bible, when the world has a disagreement with the gospel in particular, I have a better idea. I don't think God was right on this. People get angry with God because they think God made a mistake. God makes no mistakes. God does all things right and all things well. And our job is to submit to what God has to say instead of arguing with him. God doesn't make deals. Because we never have a better idea than God, what God has said. And those who wander from the commandments. If I think that I have a better idea than God, if I think that God is wrong in certain areas, then I'm not going to have any regard for those areas that God speaks on that I disagree with. We had a gentleman quite a few years ago that came to Grace, but he always got agitated whenever I talked about creation and young earth creationism. He got a little uptight about that. Because in his mind, he had embraced, he'd created this mental reconciliation between old earth evolution and what the Bible has to say. And every time I brought up what the Bible has to say about that God made it, and he made it in 6 days, in succession, and that Adam and Eve didn't come along millions and millions and millions and millions of years later after the initial creation, but they were on day six. That just got him all, and after a number of months, he finally couldn't take it anymore and he left. He has a higher regard for his own thinking, his own reasoning than he does for God's word. And that is tied to our arrogance. If I think I know better than God, then don't tell me what God has to say. I've worked out my own plan and my own ideas and stuff, and don't tell me what God has said. I have a better idea. Don't trouble me with these things. And as I have here on the outline, they become a god unto themselves, because that's really what it is. Human arrogance is the idea that I am like God. I can be my own god. And I know better than God in certain areas. And that is the epitome of arrogance. There's a great rebuke in that. Verse 22. Oh, I'll tell you what. I can actually see the... Hey! The clock still isn't right, but the minute hand's right. Have we got almost 20 after? Okay, so the minute hand's right. Okay, let's go ahead and close in prayer. We'll come back to this. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. May we find out what the truth is by studying your word. And Father, the world has all kinds of ideas, and they're always being changed. They're always being adjusted and sometimes overthrown and a new idea coming up. And Father, human ideas so often have no truth in them whatsoever. Father, people come up with different things, but Father, may we cleave to your word. And Father, I pray that we would bring ourselves into conformity to what you have to say and have a hunger for your word, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.